Today, of course, is a very significant day, Remembrance Sunday. Obviously, it's a time when we remember those who have fallen in conflict. It's over 100 years now since the guns fell silent at the end of World War I, and it's very important that we remember that time. But it's good as well that we remember the promise that we have in Jesus, and the really wonderful future that he has in store for those who follow him. We're going to be reading a few verses just now, which I think has been really close to my heart in recent years, particularly at this time of year. We're reading Isaiah from chapter 2 and verses 3 to 5. And we read in these verses what Isaiah saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Many people will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach you his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Amen. And may God add a blessing to his word. It's incredible to read of God's promise for the future. Can I just say how pleased I am to be able to share God's word with you on this, as I've said, very important, very poignant, always very significant day, Remembrance Sunday. At this time of year, it's only right that we consider those who have fallen in conflict and indeed those who are still serving for their country at the moment. And personally, I found it very encouraging this week because I was passing by the high school in Lerwick and I saw many of its windows festooned with poppies, as youngsters there have clearly been marking remembrance in a way that I think should be very special and very real to them. Often, as I say at this time, many people turn to very powerful poetry, which was penned by men in the trenches during the First War. And one of the most famous of these, I've been reminding myself this week, was by John McCrae, who, being good with words, scribbled down the words in Flanders Fields. You know, and you'll remember it. In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow between the crosses, row and row, that mark our place and in the sky. The larks still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard, amid the guns below. I was reading about McCrae. He was a Canadian. He served in his army alongside the British. He also had a Scottish ancestry, because his grandfather had emigrated. And when he'd finished his poem, it's quite probable that he would have shown it to other servicemen that he was with at the time. And it's likely that they found great comfort from his prose, or at least an appreciation of perhaps of beauty or of nature as they trudged through the thick, wet mud during the horrors of Passchendaele. Sadly, McCrae would never know just how significant his writing would become. He died from pneumonia in January 1918. But many people, I'm sure, would have enjoyed, appreciated, or even perhaps taken comfort from his writing. And as Christians, we can take comfort from the words of Isaiah that we have read in today's passage. Isaiah was, of course, he was as far removed from the conflict of World War I trenches as it is perhaps possible to be. But it's still a message that we all, whether during war or in peace, can take comfort from. Here, God is showing Isaiah the future for Jerusalem and revealing the wonderful promise of a new beginning. And the sheer scale of change that is being promised here is not one to take for granted. Chapter 65, verse 17, lays out the depth of the promise God is making to his people. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. And later, in the following chapter, as the new heavens and the new earth that I make will endure before me, declares the Lord, so will your descendants endure. It's this promise of a new hope, of an eternal security, without the horrors of conflict, without the pain and naked suffering of war, that is more deeply conveyed in Revelation given to John when he declared, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He saw it. It was revealed to him. A vision of the future where death is no more, where God's judgment is finished, a place where God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. It's a message that must be of comfort at any time, but particularly in a time of war. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. Oh, a wonderful truth. No matter what you're going through, it's not the last word. God has the last word. I'll return to this later. In the meantime, I just want to dwell for a while on Remembrance Sunday itself. Why is it important? Well, it reminds us of the peace we have experienced here in our lifetime, and that is a peace that bore a very heavy cost. Remembrance Sunday is important because it helps us to remember those who have given their lives for the freedom of others. And today we have the opportunity to give pause and remember the fallen and to say thank you for the sacrifice which they made so that we can live in peace. It's sad that for some people, today will come and go without them giving any real thought to the meaning of the day. But remember, we must. We remember the reality of what actually happened. We dwell on the dedication of those who served, those who fought, those who were wounded, those who suffered mental scars, which I guess were often hard to diagnose a century ago. And we remember, of course, those who died, those who made the ultimate sacrifice. But remembering is also a good thing because it gives us hope. Hope for a future living in peace. Hope for a time where, as our reading says, nation will not take up sword against nation, where they will no longer train for war. I've often thought, can you imagine the disappointment, I suppose, felt by those who served in the First World War, only to see the horrors of World War II begin to unfold? When I was young, I used to think of the two as being really pretty well spread apart, but they weren't really. It's 21 years, it's hardly anything. when you think about it. But we still have hope. We cling to it. And we cling to it out of love. Love is the most basic human emotion. And as the Bible teaches us, God loves us. Indeed, God is love. As Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, hope remains one of the three pillars, if you like, that remain along with faith and love, love being the greatest of these three. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. Our hope comes from being in a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's at this point that I was drawn to the words of John, again, in chapter 15. Eric was dwelling on verses from John earlier. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. And later on, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. So, can I urge you this Remembrance Sunday to remember what Christ has done for us. Throughout the Bible, God is instructing his people to stop and remember. If you were able to turn in your Bibles, you can find Psalm 105. And here, David is encouraging us to remember God's work in bringing Israel to the promised land and encourages us to keep living close to him. And these are, I feel, these are really words worth keeping close to your heart. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. This is a song of remembrance of God's goodness to his people. It traces his direction, his provision, his protection through their history and the lives of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses. I know that there will be instances where we can look back and see times where God has been active, where God has been and continues to be at work in the daily lives of his people. And you know, it's maybe worth just bookmarking that verse and keeping it nearby as a handy reference point for the week that lies ahead. Of course, it's through that life of loving that careful remembrance of God and what he, through Jesus, has done for us that our mindset changes, our priorities are refocused as God's Spirit works in us and through us. And sometimes you get the sense that the tools that we need to live our lives in this way are different from those which we may previously have used. And our reading today offers a particularly powerful illustration of that. But before I go into more detail in that, here's a puzzler for you. Now, I apologize. It's at this point that it would have been handy to have had an overhead image on the screens, but time was short for me this week. I haven't managed to do that. But who can tell me the unlikely connection between these four things. Bear these in mind. The 42nd session of the United Nations General Assembly in New York in 1987. The international singer, songwriter, and dancer, famous for his moonwalk dance move, Michael Jackson. The Hebridean Celtic rock folk combo, Runrig, and the musical Les Miserables, based on the French historical novel by Victor Hugo. It sounds like a round of pointless, doesn't it? The answer is, unless anyone's rushing forth with the answer straight away, the answer is they've all made reference to today's reading. US President Ronald Reagan addressed the UN in 1987 when he described nations being on a kind of pilgrimage and practiced diplomacy in the name of peace. Cannot swords be turned into plowshares, he said. Can we and all nations not live in peace? And Michael Jackson sang Heal the World, which uses the same words, see the nations turn their swords into plowshares. And the inverse of this phrase was used by Runrig. You took your sacrifice to the gods of war, they said, somewhat angrily. Traded your children's lives for a mess of gold, and you beat your plowshares into swords. And of course, if musicals are more your thing, the phrase is in the finale of Les Miserables. They will live again in freedom in the garden of the Lord. They will walk behind the plowshare. They will put away the sword. The chain will be broken, and all men will have reward. I absolutely love the illustration given to us in Isaiah, and there is no mistaking the attention it's gained in political, in musical, or in other cultural references. The plowshare is often used to symbolize creative tools that can be of benefit to humankind, as, of course, opposed to destructive tools of war symbolized by the sword. And an obvious practical example of this might be given over the given over of manufacturing during the war years. Factories that ordinarily had been used for the production of, let's say, agricultural machinery or bicycles or cars were used instead to support the war effort before returning to their original products and business ideas once hostilities had ceased. Other examples include nitrogen mustard. This is what I was reading this week, which is said to have been developed from the chemical weapon mustard gas, which was said to have become the basis for the world's first chemotherapy drug developed in the 1940s. And the global positioning system was first developed to enable more accurate strikes with long-range weapons by the United States. Its purpose was later expanded to include civilian applications such as personal navigation. It didn't stop us getting lost down south this year, though. So when Isaiah paints a picture of peace, where instruments of war are discarded, thrown away, forgotten even, in favor of agricultural tools that do good, the message that he delivers actually has a very real application in the world where we live today. Of course, this is ultimately the vision for man or woman, regardless of which church he or she attends. Historically, the First World War was intended really as a line in the sand, as a war to end all wars. And yet we know that sadly was wide of the mark. And we have turned all too predictably to warfare ever since. And remembrance services, moments of silent reflection, are necessary and ever more important. So, how can we use this to apply to our lives? I saw a cartoon this week. It depicted a couple having an argument in an underground bunker. They've got lots of shelves on the walls, and they're surrounded by hundreds and hundreds of tins of food. And above ground, explosions are going off, with dust clouds forming, and a scene of utter devastation is unfolding. And meanwhile, down below, the wife says to her husband, "How many times did I say it? How many times? Make sure the bomb shelter's got a can opener." Clearly, they were lacking a tool that they needed to help them live in peace. So what are our swords, and how can we remember to make them into something which may come to represent plowshares? Well, in this way, our responsibility is to honor and to love the Lord Jesus and to live a life in service to Him. Because remember, God has given us gifts, spiritual gifts, to help us in that service. And we need to seek His will through daily prayer and devotion. But where do we take our lead from? We take our lead from the life that Jesus lived on earth. So Jesus says in Matthew, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be a servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." Later in that chapter, Jesus heals a blind beggar. He was concerned about what lay ahead, but he demonstrated what he had just told his disciples about selfless service. Great service comes with great sacrifice. Today, we remember that many have gone to serve their country and paid the ultimate price in doing so, just as Jesus paid the ultimate price when He gave Himself on the cross as a sacrifice for you and for me. Jesus entered the world as a servant king, who, as the worship song says, calls us to offer Him our worship. War's a terrible thing. I think we can all agree. It's the bluntest instrument you can possibly use in international diplomacy. It's undiscriminating in its brutality. We know that it's the innocent who are among the first victims of war. And some have said that days like today, Remembrance Sunday, are wrong because they glorify violence and put warfare on a pedestal. I disagree with that point of view. It's the duty of service personnel to go and to serve wherever, regardless of how popular or unpopular that conflict might be with the wider masses. And that is how Jesus served the Father. Jesus came into the world and gave Himself for it without question. And as we reflect on this day that marks the tremendous sacrifice that has been made for our benefit, for our liberty, for our freedom, we surely remember too the sacrifice made by our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, who paid the price for our sin and bought us, not our freedom, our eternity. We know that the death of Jesus on the cross didn't just end there. The cross could not keep hold of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that we worship a Christ who conquered the grave, who rose again, a Christ whose sacrifice paid the price, tore the veil, and opened up to us all an eternity of freedom. A Christ, indeed, who is risen and calls on us to live by his side in everlasting peace. It's my prayer that as we leave this place today, each and every one of us, that we might walk, as Isaiah said, in the light of the Lord. That will surely be a victory worth having. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the sacrifice which you made. We thank you, Lord, that you gave yourself, that you entered this broken world, and Lord, that you just gave yourself as a servant king. And Lord, as we think about this time of remembrance, Lord, we pray that throughout the days and weeks that may lay ahead, that we may continue to serve you, that, and Lord, that we may seek ways of using the gifts that you have given us to make them into tools that would help in service to you. And so we ask these things in Jesus' name. We ask that you would go with us now for his glory. Amen.